had a member of the church, another church area, email me early in the week. He had been listening to these sermons on the seals that I've been given. There again, another church area. Outside of these three congregations, and he used the term, he said, "That's heavy stuff you're talking about." And I emailed him back, and yeah, it is. That Southern style. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Today, what I want to do is finish the messages that I've been given on the seals. I want to open with you the fifth and sixth seals today as I close out these messages that I've been doing regarding the seals. I've already gone through, as most of you by now know, I've gone through the first four seals, and those first four seals that are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse, I've gone through those and explained the meaning of those and shared as much as I could regarding each one. That white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and that pale horse, and their times of fulfillment. So I've gone through those things. I went through the fourth seal the last time with all of you, and I talked about the fall of modern Israel when the nations of modern Jacob, the time of Jacob's trouble, happens, and when the modern nations of Israel will fall and go into captivity. I covered all of that, the setting of that time frame when it happens under the fourth seal. I covered the time of the abomination of desolation that will then be set up, the time of the Gentile rule, the beast power. And I went through and talked about how when that happens, that fourth seal, and in its fullest opening, and when those four things happen under the fourth seal, and I took you through it, and when the modern nations of Jacob ultimately will fall and be scattered into captivity, there will be no buffer. There will be no protection to stand in the way of this beast power that will be set up for 3.5 years. And that is why they will be able to reign in Jerusalem and take over the holy city, a city, Jerusalem, that was promised to David in a special covenant long ago and promised to his descendants, and whom once again one day in the millennium will be restored along with all the other sons of Jacob, the remnant of Israel in the millennium. So I went through a lot of those things, and I talked about how that the beast power, once it sets up, will set up and it will exercise dominion across the whole world as it sets up its power and reign and rule of terror. And that's what it will be. And I went through all that with you. And who's behind it all? Who is behind it all? Who is always behind the evil? It is always Satan the devil. Human nature of itself in the moment, yes, human nature has to be, what's the word I'm using? Revolutionized, but has to be reformed. Human nature itself has to be reformed. And even in the millennium, when there will be no devil or he is around for 1,000 years, we will still have to do what? We will have to teach people to repent, because human nature will still be in place. But it will not be anything like it is now and in a world where Satan and his influence and his are reigning so supreme anymore. But today, I want to open that fifth and sixth seal in this message. In review, to set the message back up, to go back in review, go back to Revelation chapter 12. Go back to Revelation 12 as I set this message up today. Going back in a short, quick review, because I think you'll see why. Revelation 12, verse 13. We're talking here the last days, at the very end, near the very end, and when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, who is the church, especially that remnant who will flee, who gave birth to the male child, and that is Christ. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent, that is the devil. As I went through the sermons past, place of safety, went through the other seals, you know, even went through the sermons on Philadelphia and Laodicea, went through those things, but coming back just in review and showing what will happen near the end time. Verse 15, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood, but the earth helped the woman that is the church. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And then verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with what? The rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, he cannot get to a certain group of God's people, as I covered in the past in those messages. So what does he do? He goes then to make war with the offspring. Those who are keeping the commandments, those who are exercising faith in God, and in obedience and repentance. So now, go to Revelation 6. I had shut my Bible up. Revelation 6, verse 9. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So we see here under the fifth seal, we see here those who are being persecuted unto death. And yes, through time immemorial, as that statement cliche goes, from time immemorial, God's true people have been persecuted. And you go back to the church, early church, after Christ had gone back to the Father, and we call that age the apostolic age, the beginnings of the New Testament church. And you will find, and if you have studied, and I believe and hope that most of you have, you will find it was a very persecuted church. A church that had to go, in essence, underground to survive. Of which, in the moment, I can see that happening ahead of us one day again. Because persecution will continue to heat up, as I've also covered. That verse 10, they cry out to God. And I want you to remember this verse throughout the sermon. These martyred saints, they cry out to God, pleading for judgment for themselves, vengeance upon their persecutors. And God says, wait a little while longer until the number is complete. If you take all the persecuted saints from the ages and add them all up, you will come up with that number that one day will stand before God in Jesus Christ, totally justified. Wait until that number is complete or full. We seal time ahead from the fifth seal. We seal time coming when there is going to be great persecution such as the world has never seen. And certainly the church has never experienced. The church of God. And don't forget always, Israel in the wilderness was called the congregation, the church in the wilderness. Stephen's sermon, Acts 7, tells us that very plainly, referred to them as the congregation in the wilderness. Every person that's ever been that person or entity or group that belongs to God has been persecuted. If you go back to the patriarchs of the Old Testament, many times they too were persecuted. Persecution comes with the territory. And all this time, as we look forward, we see a time coming, do we not, when great persecution is going to arise. You can jot down Daniel 12, 10. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, who would we assume is the wise? If we, the people of God, are not the ones considered wise, not wise in our eyes, but wise in the eyes of God. If we are not experiencing God's wisdom in our life, God's understanding in our life, then where are we drawing What well of wisdom are we trying to draw from? Because if we're drawing from the well of wisdom, from our own human reasoning, the well is going to be dry. There's very little water in it. But if we're drawing from the well of wisdom, from God's wisdom, and the more we draw from that well, using that allegorical term, then we are going to increase in knowledge. And when Peter says grow in grace and knowledge, that means we grow in his wisdom and understanding. We see ahead of us, and I don't at all want to get into predictive prophecy. Predictive prophecy in trying to say, just ask me, brother, and I'll tell you, I know the dates. Just come to me and I'll tell you the when. I'll tell you right fast, I don't know how soon or when these things will start to really happen. The fifth seal, the fourth seal open fully as I've given in the past. But I do know they're going to happen. And he who says, I want to see it, let me take you aside and privately counsel with you because you don't know what you're saying. You know, we know that many will be converted during the fifth seal. Many will come to conversion and much will be done. You know, we can look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. You just jot it down. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 through 10, verses 1 through 10. That's the two witnesses and their work, their ministry on earth that will be done for 3.5 years, specifically 1260 days. And they will be preaching powerfully. And brethren, they will be rebuking. They will be rebuking evil. And it will be on such a grand scale that they're going to, for 3.5 years, want to kill them. And they cannot do it. Someone told me on the phone this week, a member and I were talking on the phone this week. And the member said to me, he referred to them at that time as being the untouchables. And I said, that's good. I like that. For 3.5 years, they will be untouchable. Because God will pour such power into them. And then they're preaching. And then they're rebuking evil and wickedness. And the world's going to hate them. Why will it hate them so? Because Satan will be behind that hate and anger, as he is behind the anger and hate we see today. Why is anger mounting in the world? Hostility, because he's behind it. He's the agent, chief agent of it, the chief adversary, the original liar, the original murderer, as John chapter 10 tells us. It's going to be a mighty work done with those two. And then Matthew 24:14, just jot it down. And if we're not acquainted with Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, what it says by now, then I hope I don't offend you. You've been living under a rock. Because it says, Christ said in the Olivet Prophecy, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Brethren, we have preached the gospel to many people. Over the decades, over the last 2,000 years, the gospel has been preached to many people. And it's gone into many parts of the world. But I ask you the question here today, listening in, have we ever really saturated the world with the gospel in every corner and crevice of the world? No. Matthew 24:14 is a very specific prophecy of its total, ultimate, fullest fulfillment, no doubt, when two men, two prophets, two witnesses will preach for 3.5 years and the whole world will hear that message and they will all be impeached by their sins. They will be rebuked in their wickedness and evil and they will not be able to stop it. And the gospel will go into every crevice because God will have no man. Jesus Christ will have no person ever stand before them and say, you never told us. The world will know. And thus at that time, it will be a gospel, complete gospel, that will go for 3.5 years to a world that's almost dead. Dead spiritually. Dead almost spiritually. Except those that God will have called during the fifth seal. But again, those who will be called during that fifth seal. And to do the proper math on it, the fifth seal lasts for 2.5 years. It's called the Great Tribulation, a time of great martyrdom. And not only the saints of God that will be being martyred for 2.5 years, but the remnants from the modern nations of Jacob will also be being decimated. Satan has turned his wrath loose, and God has allowed Satan for 2.5 years to vent his anger not only against the disciples of Christ, but also against the modern physical birthright nations of Israel. And that's what that 2.5 years of great tribulation, the fifth seal, represents. These saints will literally, they're called during that fifth seal, that 2.5 years, they will have to prove their faith and their testimony of what they believe, and they will have to hold on to that faith until death, and by death, as most will be martyred. This was prophesied long ago, long before the Olivet prophecy and Jesus Christ. It was prophesied to happen. And what book do we couple with Revelation? Daniel. Go back to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Let's go back there. The book of Daniel, chapter 7. As it was prophesied long ago. Again, Daniel was having nightmares. That's the best way I know how to say it. Daniel had nightmares in these visions that he had, and it shook him to his core. Daniel chapter 7, verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And you better believe, trouble is a mild word. He was shook to his core and foundations by these things. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four, are four kings which arise out of the earth, as he then in visions were seeing these successive kingdoms. And I don't have time today to go through and talk about all these kingdoms, but I will be coming back here in these verses to the one that's last to come. And that is that fourth beast, that beast power that will show up. Verse 18, but the saints, notice this, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So in this vision, God is saying the good part is that when it's all over, the kingdom, the saints will possess the kingdom forever and ever. That means all who obey God, all those who repent, they will receive this kingdom. So he's giving the best part, you might say, right up front. And then he said, I wish to know, verse 19, the truth of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet. Verse 20, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and about the other horn, which came up before which three fell, namely that horn, which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows, talking in reference to what will be the great false prophet one day when he shows up. All of these would take a lot of time to explain in detail, and the sermon doesn't allow me that time today, nor is it the purpose. But you get the point, and I think many of you do understand a lot of this. Our Revelation booklet does a great job putting it all together. Verse 21, notice, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. You see here in this prophecy of Daniel, it prophesied a time would come way thousands of years beyond Daniel's time, a time when the saints would be persecuted to such a degree, but this last and fourth dreadful beast that would show up. And thus he said, verse 23, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and trample it, and break it in pieces. That is, its influence will spread across the whole earth, its dominance, its power. And the 10 horns, verse 24, are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. And then verse 25, He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, and notice, brethren, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. Clearly defines when that last 3.5 years during a time called the abomination of desolation, which is the time of the fullness of the Gentiles and their rule, the beast's power. Prophecies here that Daniel was given to see when this power on earth would persecute to death many of the saints of God. I was reading something last night. This coming beast power will be a power such as the earth has never seen. And it will combine a military, political, economic, and most of all religious facets of it that the earth has never seen. It will combine the political, the economic, the military, the religious, to form what I love to call the perfect storm. When I saw that movie long ago, George Clooney, the actor, plays the role of the captain of the Andrea Gale. The Andrea Gale, based on the true story of the Andrea Gale being lost in that hurricane. And they did the movie years ago, called it The Perfect Storm. Ever since I saw that movie and they got caught in that hurricane and they perished, ever since I likened the times coming to that perfect storm. They couldn't get out of that storm. If you've seen that movie, it's dramatic. They tried there at one point to get out of it, and they couldn't get out of it. And there's that poignant place in the movie where George Clooney says, it's not going to let us out. When those times come, nobody is going to escape out of that perfect storm. Only those that God has chosen to be taken to a place, special place of safety called her place there in Revelation 12. They're the only ones that are going to escape that perfect storm that is going to envelop the whole earth. And it's going to last for that 3.5 years. Again, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 tells us, the devil goes to make war with the offspring, the other offspring. Because, brethren, it's clear in those verses of chapter 12 again, that he cannot get to this certain group of God's people. And thus he goes to make war on those that he can, which will be all those in that 3.5 years are being called of God. And how are they going to be called? Have you ever let your mind think about it? When the beast power is set up and it's totally functional and it's exercising this kind of control across the world, do you think freedom of religion is going to be allowed? That's why there will only be, apparently from what we read, 2 individuals that are allowed for 3.5 years to be the 2 voices. They cannot shut up. Oh, they want to. And it says they try to kill them or whatever they try to do to them, it's going to happen to them. God will pour out such power into those 2 prophets, those 2 men, those 2 witnesses, because the word witness, as it is applied to those 2, is the best word that could be used, because they are truly God's witnesses on this earth for him at that time. The greatest thing could be said of us is that we are a witness for God. We're all witnesses in this room. Those of you listening in, we're all witnesses, are we not? Are we not witnessing for the things that he has put into our hearts and minds? Let's get some great detail. The most graphic detail that we get of this beast power and the great false prophet when they show up, and we get the best detail of some things in chapter 13 of Revelation. Let's go there. Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13, my subheading in my old King James, New King James Bible says, the beast from the sea. Oh, when this beast rises, when it does rise one day, it will be a quick, it will be a quick ascension to power. It will be quicker, brethren, and it will happen quicker. And the prophecies, other places I won't take the time to go to, when it shows up, it will take the world basically by surprise because it will happen quicker. Because America and Great Britain and Canada and France and all the modern nations of Israel that we understand, when their fall comes, as I brought out in that last sermon about the fourth seal, when they fall, it happens pretty quick. Verse 1, chapter 13, Revelation. I'm going to go through and read a lot of this and basically let it say what it says in these verses as I go through and read them as you follow. May make a few comments along. I, that is John, stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. And now the beast, verse 2, which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Comment? The devil, the Satan, is behind this. Because God has allowed Satan at this time to exercise much of his vast power. Satan has a lot of power. And if it were not for God keeping that power of Satan harnessed over almost 6,000 years, the devil would have done even more damage. I believe that the devil could have had his way. He would have had those nuclear buttons pushed in 1962 with the Cuban Missile Crisis. And those of us who were living in that time will never forget that. We thought we were on the cusp of nuclear annihilation. And I believe if the devil had had his way, he'd have persuaded leaders to have pushed those buttons then. But God has never intended for all of flesh to destroy themselves, as Christ says in the Olivet Prophecy. Verse 3 here in Revelation 13. I saw one of his heads, that is the beast, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast, because it has this resurrection. Brethren, what is that a reference to? It is a reference to this revitalized, resurrected, holy Roman Empire. A woman that rides the beast. A religious-driven entity, driven most of all by the voice of the false prophet. And I haven't even gotten to the miracles and signs and wonders he will do, which will be done through and by Satan in him. Verse 4, so they worshiped the dragon, the devil, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? This is referring now to this political, economic, military might, power, that will last for 3.5 years, and certainly would refer to the actual civil ruler over this power. There will be a civil ruler. There will be the actual head of this. Because you will have two entities. You will have that civil ruler of this beast power. And you will have the false prophet. What is that? That's two witnesses for the devil. Because they will oppose the two witnesses for God. This is not some happenstance thing that will happen. Satan counterfeits everything God does, and that's what I look forward down the line and coming back to this sermon later down the line on deception, because Satan duplicates, he counterfeits what God does, he tries to duplicate. Verse 5, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blaspheming, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Brethren, I ask the question, his tabernacle. Where's the tabernacle of God on earth right now? Where is the tabernacle of God on earth right now? I'm looking at it. You listening in. We are the temple of God. As Scripture tells us, as Christ says, not a temple made with physical hands, a temple that is spiritual. We are the tabernacle on earth. We are the temple on earth. And we see here, he will speak and persecute the tabernacle of God on earth. That is those who are God's, those who belong to God. Verse 7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints. This is what we saw in Daniel's prophecy of chapter 7. and to overcome them. This is the fifth seal. That's what it's referring to. A time of 2.5 years of great tribulation, which is warfare, all out war on the saints of God, orchestrated by the devil. And also in with that, war on the remnants of the sons of Jacob as well. An authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Latter part of verse 7, that shows comprehensive power, influence across the whole world at that time. Verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Brethren, when I read that little three-letter word, all who dwell on the earth, if you don't have your name at that time, if your name at that time is not written in the book of life, the scripture tells me all will pay homage to him, will bow down and worship this beast, except those who have their names written in the book of life. And we know what the book of life is. It's a registry of those who will have eternal life. Verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Those are familiar words always of Jesus Christ. All who have ears to hear. Verse 10, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, verse 11, and I have a subheading. The beast from the land. Because now the subject matter moves into talking about the other horn, that little horn, the false prophet, the great false prophet, who really is the voice of this power for 3.5 years. I saw another beast, verse 11, coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. He speaks like the devil because he has the devil in him. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So he is the catalyst. He is that moving force behind this whole economic, political, military, religious power that's been created. He is that power behind the throne, as that old cliche goes. There's your one, Linda, you can put in the bulletin. What does it mean, power behind the throne? See if she puts it in the bulletin next week. She's writing it down. Verse 13. Notice this. This is the great false prophet, the voice of this empire. He performs great signs. That means miracles, brethren. So that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those. There's that deception again. Who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. In other words, again, reference to it is a resurrected Holy Roman Empire driven by religion, driven by the voice of the false prophet. The false prophet is the chief counsel to this power. That's why it is a woman riding the beast, clearly defined by Revelation again. We have not yet seen that type religious revival yet. Keep your eyes, brethren, open. And if you're alive, you will see ahead of us, and I don't know how soon, there's going to be a pushback against this leftist movement. And it's going to come from the religious side of things, quote, religious side, except it will deceive the world and it will appear as God, but it will not be of God. Can I make it any plainer than that? And that's why Christ said it will be so deceptive that the very elect would almost be deceived. Verse 15, that is the false prophet, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. We're seeing this vast influence that this great religious leader, false prophet, has upon the whole system. It is profound. It is his influence, most of all, on the system, the whole system that drives it, you might say. And he causes all to bow down and worship this beast. Verse 16. And he causes all, again, all inclusive, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. So see, this is proof that the vaccine mandates are not the mark of the beast. Far from it. Far from it. Verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And now I will give you who that 666 is. Right? I don't know. That's my answer. What we see here in this chapter is probably the most definitive outlay, you might say, exposing when this power is on the scene and it's ruling, and for 3.5 years, it is crushing brethren. It is crushing all opposition. It is exercising its full power, and it is worshiped. And we've just read where only those whose names are written in the book of life will not be deceived. It's going to be a time of profound deception. And fact is, the sermon that I do want to give, and it probably comes just past the holy days, don't hold me to it, sometimes I change my mind, but I actually put a title to my thoughts, From Deception to Great Deception. We're going to go from deception to great deception, and we're in that process now. We're going right now presently in this age of 2022, we're dealing with right now all kinds of deception, and that deception is going to continue to move toward the time coming of great deception. And that's what I want to speak about, hopefully right after the holy days. We see here, though, something that if you don't trade with this power, if you don't do business, you want the best term, if you don't get in bed and prostitute yourself to this way of life and this system and bow down, you're going to die physically. The time of great martyrdom. And it will be great during that time. That is, brethren, a snippet, condensing of the fifth seal, when that time happens. I gave that sermon weeks ago, The War of the Worlds. And I used Genesis 3:15, chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 15. And I went through from that prophecy there in Genesis 3:15, he, speaking of the devil, will bruise the heel of Christ, and Christ will crush his head, the serpent. Now, I went through in that sermon and talked about that prophecy and how it relates. What happens during the fifth seal will be the greatest bruising of the heel of Jesus Christ that has ever happened, because the beast's power will seek to bruise and crush those who are Christ and will persecute and put to death. And then we know in the end we win, because in the end then Christ will ultimately, as I brought in that sermon, War of the Worlds, then ultimately he, Christ, will crush the devil forever. That is the fifth seal that I've gone through. We move now to the opening of the sixth seal in the time I have left. That sixth seal. And was putting this sermon together a while back, and I could not help but thinking of it. And I thought about that old song, I see a bad moon arising. I see a bad moon arising. I see blood moons coming. I see the sun darkened like sackcloth. These blood moons that happened behind us were nothing compared to the real blood moons that are going to come. They, men, women, they were writing books on these blood moons. We're there. And I'm back in the background. No, we're not. The real blood moons don't come to after the 2.5 years, and we're about to see that. Always let Scripture answer itself, because the sixth seal now is opened. And it's actually just a short prelude, short time frame, before God's getting ready to open the seventh seal. And so, opening that sixth seal, and I think about, you be turning there, go to Revelation 6. Go to Revelation 6. And as you're turning to Revelation 6, I think about verse 10 there again in Revelation 6. And those martyred saints, and not only those that will be martyred during the Great Tribulation, but no doubt the saints who have been persecuted and martyred throughout the ages for their testimony, for their faith in God and their obedience and their repentance. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And that answer is about to come, because God now is about to pour out His judgment upon a wicked world, a wicked empire that has decimated His people. And He is about to now pour out His wrath upon them. Chapter 6, verse 12, the sixth seal. My subheading says, Cosmic Disturbances. I looked, and when He opened the sixth seal, whose hand is on the seal? I've gone through that in those messages previously. Whose hand is on the seals? Whose hands were the scroll put in? Jesus Christ. He, Christ, opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became black blood. There is your true blood moons that will come. Because what's starting to happen now are things happening in the supernatural. God has now directly stepped in and is about to do something. In fact, He's about to do something for the next year called the Day of the Lord. He's getting ready to open the seventh seal and begin to pour out plagues upon these wickedness and the wickedness of the unrepentant. You find in verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind, and the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and the every mountain and island was moved out of its place. We're seeing, brethren, the heaven and earth is being shaken. I think of Haggai, that little book we call Haggai in the Minor Prophets, and that verse that says, once again, I shake heaven and earth. You're seeing it. God has stepped in, and brethren, these are supernatural things. And God is shaking heaven and earth because He is now about to pour out the worst judgments on human beings that He has ever poured out, as He will pour out seven trumpet blasts and seven last plagues when that seventh seal is soon to be opened. But He's in the sixth seal. He is showing them His power. He is showing them, in essence, letting the world at that time, letting the unrepentant see the God of heaven. And I don't know how it's going to exactly be done, but let's keep reading here. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, and every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. There seems to no doubt be from this inference that there is somehow of understanding this is coming from above. And they're trying to hide from the literal one above who is pouring these things out, starting to pour these things out, and they are supernatural. Brethren, by this time and from this point on, everything becomes more a war for sure between the supernatural. Because God now is stepping in directly and pouring out great supernatural things upon the earth. Verse 17, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand? That's because the seventh seal is about to be opened. And He's giving the signs, I am about to step in. And what He's really saying is, to all the martyred saints, I am about to step in and avenge your blood. Because when you study the parts of Revelation that I don't have time today, he has said, seal all who are mine before he pours out the day of the Lord, which is that last year of the 3.5 called the day of the Lord, which happens when the seventh seal is open and it runs through those 7 trumpet blasts and then the 7 last bowl judgments that are called. His righteous judgments, his holy anger is about to be unleashed on the punishers. For many, many years, I have simply used it in that way of saying it, phraseology. I've said, God now is about to punish the punishers. Yes, he has allowed Satan, he has allowed the beast power to do this for 2.5 years because it's all but his plan. But now he is about to pour out punishment severe upon the punishers, the beast power. And again, from Revelation chapter 6 through those verses, we see that very clearly. Go with me to Luke 21. Luke 21. Christ spoke of this again in the Olivet Prophecy. Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. Verse 25. Christ again addressing this in the Olivet Prophecy, Luke's account. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear. That's heart attacks, brethren. The scripture kind of uses nice language. That's heart attacks. Our hearts are failing them. Yes. And the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Again, a reference from Haggai. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your head because your redemption draws near. It is then that we know the imminent return of Christ is close. It is then that we can say the return of Christ is very, very imminent and close now. And that's what he tells us. But even when those heavenly signs are performed, it is still a year that those trumpet blast plagues will be poured out. And then when the 7th trumpet sounds, 7 more last plagues will be poured out, called the bowl judgments as well. And that last year of the 3.5 years is called the day of the Lord. Why is it called the day of the Lord? Because he is now executing his full vengeance and judgment upon sinful humanity. Humanity that won't repent because through the 6th seal, he has sealed those who are his. They've been sealed. Those 7 trumpet blasts, 7 bowl judgments won't affect those who have been sealed, who are entered into the book of life, as chapter 13 tells us. Go to Matthew's account of the Olivet Prophecy, Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 29. I love both accounts, Matthew, Luke. They just write different. One adds one thing, one another. Matthew 24, verse 29. I like Matthew's identification of this in terms of sequential order of time when it happens. He says here, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. There again. Immediately after that first 2.5 years of great tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And when all these behind us were writing about these so-called blood moons, well, they were a type of blood moon, but not the blood moon spoken of in prophecy. And they were trying to connect these. If they simply read what Christ said, he said, these blood moons don't happen till right after the tribulation, which is 2.5 years. Verse 30, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and you better believe they're going to mourn because of the judgments that God will be pouring out on them. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a sound, great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the 4 winds, from one end of heaven to the other, as we know when that 7th trumpet one day will sound. And we know what happens. You can read in your own Bible study. You can go back and read, opening up chapter 8 of Revelation, and that's when the seventh seal is open. And then if you go through chapters 8 and 9 of Revelation, they lay out the seven trumpet blast. And then if you go to Revelation chapter 16, the seventh trumpet has sounded, and then that also ushers in the seven last plagues that will happen, that will be poured out. And so you have seven trumpet blast plagues, seven last plagues, or bowl judgments it's called as well, and those things are poured out in that last year of the 3.5 year period of time called the true day of the Lord. Because He is now answering those voices, how long until you avenge our blood? And when He says, seal everyone that is mine, and He pours all these things out in that last year, these things are falling upon those who won't repent. Because you can go to Revelation 16, and you will find it mentions two or three times, He is pouring out the worst of judgments. There's one of those seven bowl judgments where the whole ocean's turned to blood. All the fresh water turns to blood. And it says they still won't repent. That is hardened hearts. We are soon to be to Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. And I've got those messages ready to go. We, His people, the saints now, we have got to move more and more away from any hardness in our hearts till we have to have our hearts melting and becoming like the most soft, malleable clay that they can be in His hands. It's a huge story, brethren. You know, I love it. I love it in Revelation 15, just quoting from it. Those saints in chapter 6 of Revelation, verse 10, how long till you avenge the blood on our that's on their hands? Do something. Wasn't in my notes. Turn to Daniel again. Go back to Daniel 7. There's something that occurred to me from Daniel 7. Go back there, would you please, Daniel 7. We've come to the point to where the saints are about to be rewarded. Okay? Daniel 7, verse 27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, and His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. The kingdom is being prepared for you and I right now. It's Christ's kingdom. And what does Christ say in places of Scripture? He and the Father together give it to those of whom they choose to. The kingdom is ours waiting for us. It's our inheritance. And we see there, it will be given to the saints of the Most High to rule with Christ forever and ever. And brethren, that's not just all saints. That is the first fruits. Because all those who come up in the second resurrection, all those who come up in that resurrection, that's called the great white throne judgment, they will receive ultimately most eternal life. But they will never have the same reward of positions, administrative alliance with Christ and His government. Brethren, that is something that we must never lose sight of. To be a first fruit is the supreme blessing. We've got some firstborns in this room, and I pay homage to any firstborn in this room or listening in. If you're firstborn, you're special to God. And if you know the Old Testament, you know how special that first fruit always was to God. And you may have 15 children, and I'm sure you will love each one almost equally as well, but your firstborn is special. We are special to God because we are His firstborn. And we shall one day. What a promise when you study Revelation 15 and those first four verses where one day the saints of God will literally stand on the sea of glass. And the sea of glass, chapter 4, verse 6, Revelation, is before the throne of God. And they will one day stand on that sea of glass together as one body and sing hymns of praise, victory, and the palm branches in their hand. And those palm branches in chapter 15 of Revelation simply mean they have gained the victory. What was the message to seven churches of Revelation? That one statement is in every admonition of Christ to them, to all seven churches, each one, overcome. To each one. What does overcome mean again? To gain the victory in the Greek, to be victorious. One day, we all, the saints of God from every age, the first fruits, shall stand victorious. And we shall stand victorious. And we shall stand before God in Christ. And we shall rejoice. And we shall what? Reign with Christ forever and ever. As Daniel brought out, we will inherit, be given the kingdom with Christ to rule with Him. Again, the most important aspect of this is why? Why? The big question, why will we rule forever with Christ? What is the chief reason? I'm going to give one word. Why we will forever be with Christ for eternity as His beside Him. One word. Bride. Because we will be the bride of Christ. And we will be His bride by His side forever. I hope that these sermons that I have gone through on the seals have been enlightening. I've gotten a lot of great response, even from other church areas. Some are listening to them. And I really enjoy, and I've enjoyed sharing so much of this. Depends on how much time we've got left. Depends on how much time in front of us before worse things do begin to happen. And they will. The one man that emailed me and said, that's heavy stuff you're talking about. Yeah, it is. And it's heavy. And it can be almost, sometimes it's almost can like Daniel. It can cause us to start having almost like nightmares. And yet, brethren, God's been so good to us in this age of the church. Any saint from any age would look at the freedoms we've had in this nation for over 200 years, religious freedom, and they would not be able to believe it. We've had it. Why have we had such religious freedom? Because God had a plan. He had a purpose. He's given us that religious freedom to exercise for a profound reason. But I see now wickedness taking it away, and they're removing it more and more. And it is the ultimate aim of Satan to remove it altogether. And it will be removed altogether ultimately. If you have profited from these sermons and all that I've covered, then it brings me great joy, because it's been my great joy to share all of this with you. These messages are being posted, so if anyone wants to go back at any time and listen to any of them, they can. So have a great rest of the Sabbath. I look forward to spending some time with all of you after services.